is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and I'm at the Sonora office talking to our very own Scott Onetto. Scott, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, and I know you're on sabbatical, which is wonderful because you're doing all this amazing research and writing papers and doing all the things that you've always wanted to do.
Yes, and getting to spend the afternoon talking with you.
Aw, thanks. It's really been fun. But one of the things that has come up and we're going to talk about today, it was newly discovered here in Calaveras County, and it's a brand new disease on oak trees.
Yes.
What is that?
Yeah, so it's a disease called foamy bark canker.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, doesn't that sound lovely?
Oh, it sounds. I don't want to see it.
Yeah. And we found this, basically it was identified in California, in Southern California back in 2012, mostly on a number of what we call live oak species, right? So live oaks are trees that retain their leaves, they're evergreen, so they keep their leaves
okay.
Year-round. And we hadn't really seen it anywhere north of the LA Basin, up until about 3 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was identified in El Dorado County, and then in the subsequent year we found it here in Calaveras County.
Oh my goodness.
So this was at a time, just to try to set the stage, so we were kind of right in the middle of that, you know, long persistent drought that we had. You know, we're familiar with, you know, the massive dieback that we saw in so many of our conifer forests, with all of the pine trees dying as a result of the bark beetles, and all that kind of just, you know, came to a head because of, you know, the drought and those trees being so stressed for water and not being able to naturally fend off those beetles.
Okay.
So this was kind of in the same time period, and you know, the oak trees not being any different, they were also extremely drought stressed.
Oh.
And so as a result, you know, there are a number of insects that take advantage of plants in when they are stressed. And there's a native bark beetle that is a pest on oak trees. And that particular beetle is basically was much more successful at penetrating and actually causing harm to the oak trees when they're
okay.
drought stressed, just because they can't make, you know, a normal tree's natural defense system is to make sap or pitch, and
right.
You know, when a beetle's trying to bore through that bark and ultimately make it inside the tree where it then can lay its eggs, and the eggs and larvae can feed on, you know, the yummy, juicy tissue
mm-hmm.
that's underneath the bark, the tree's natural response is to try to fight that off, like, you know,
sure.
any invader, and they make a pitch or sap to try to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're drought stressed, they just don't have the resources to be able to do that. So so this native insect, bark beetle, has been basically carrying around this new identified fungus, foamy bark canker.
So it's actually a fungus.
Yeah, so it's a fungal pathogen, and the beetle carries it around on its back, and the little spores on its back, and when the beetle bores into the tree, it's naturally carrying those fungal spores with it. And once the fungus gets inside the tree, then it's just a perfect environment to grow. It's warm, it's moist,
right.
it's protected, just all the things you think
that
of.
A fungus wants.
Yes, exactly. You know, you think of, you know, any of your favorite fresh produce that sits in a, you know, warm environment.
Oh, and, sure. You that's know, a that's a great
yeah,
analogy.
Next thing you know, you have this big, you know, frothy
mass
right. that's just full of spores and growth.
Gosh.
And so that's basically what's been happening to these oak trees is this fungus gets in there and just proliferates and just starts plugging up all of the tissues that carry water, nutrients, and food throughout the tree. And as it plugs up all those systems, the tree fairly quickly can just die.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And where does the foamy bark beetle, where does that come from?
Description. Yeah, where does that common name, the disease, come from? So it's basically the, when you see the disease, one of the characteristics of identifying the disease is this foaminess that the trees exude. So it
really is foam.
Yeah, it almost looks like somebody went and spit real juicy, frothy spit all over the tree.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. For no better way to describe it. It looks
well, that's
like,
a good description.
Yeah, it looks like the trees all up and down the trunks and the stems are just exuding foamy spit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so that's basically the tree, you know, it's showing that the fungus is growing and it's you know, releasing gases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically exuding that out of the little holes that the beetles had left when they bored into the tree.
So not a good sign.
Not a great sign at all.
Oh.
Yeah. There are some other diseases that can have similar symptomology,
mm-hmm.
but this is a pretty characteristic one
of
this particular disease. And so the good thing is, you know, this was, you know, predominantly the worst of it seemed to be during the drought.
Okay.
And now that we've got into some winters where we are back into seeing some, I guess what you could say, normal amounts of precipitation, the trees seem to be less stressed, and we've certainly seen less foamy bark canker during this last growing season.
Oh, good.
So.
Oh, good. But if they suspect it, if they see it, what should they do?
Yeah, so if you see it, you're probably going to see it during the actively growing months of the year. So, you know, typically that's, you know, shortly after plants are leafing out, so things are warming up in the spring and into the summer months. So if you see, you know, if you have an oak tree and it's, if you see it exuding or, you know, pushing a bunch of dark, discolored sap out of holes in the trunk or the branches, and also if you're seeing this kind of foamy, frothy material coming out of any of the stems or branches, that might be the first sign of you want to maybe have somebody look at it. So, you know, if you see any of that, I would, you know, certainly contact the Master Gardener program.
Sure.
And get some advice from one of the volunteers. You could also contact, you know, a local arborist.
Mm-hmm.
Any of them should be able to direct more information and at least answer some of those questions.
Okay. And is there any way that you could prevent this from happening?
Yeah, great
question. Because a lot of our homeowners, they actually really want to be proactive.
Yeah. So probably the best way to prevent any you know, any attack, whether it be a disease, in this case a fungal pathogen or an insect, is to keep those trees as healthy as possible. So, so making sure that, you know, the stresses are at a minimum. So, you know, making sure, you know, the trees aren't overly stressed from other competition. So if you've got, you know, lots and lots of other, you know, competing vegetation around your oak trees, maybe think about either thinning some of them out or, you know, pruning them back to make sure that, you know, everybody has enough nutrients and water.
You brought up a great, I mean, this is really wonderful to say. I mean, do trees get stressed by having other trees so close by them?
Yeah, certainly.
They don't really like that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, what anything needs to live and thrive, and that is, you know, many things, but including, you know, water, nutrients, and for a tree in this case, it gets all of that from the soil, and there's not an endless supply, right? So anything growing in that particular area is all going to be competing for those limited resources. So So certainly there can be too many plants, too many shrubs, too many trees in a particular area.
Okay. So even if nature put a bunch of trees there,
yeah,
maybe it's still a stressful environment.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That, and it's, I think a good way to look at that is, you know, sometimes if you go into areas around the community and you see, you know, really thick patches of, you know, of conifers, of pine trees, you know, they may be, you know, only, you know, 2 or 3 inches in diameter, but you may see 100 right all next to each other.
Right.
And maybe, you know, maybe across the street, the trees are well spaced and 10, 15, 20 feet apart, and they may be, you know, 1 foot or 2 feet in diameter. And those trees all could be of the same age.
Oh, so, isn't that something?
Yeah. So,
it really is remarkable.
Yeah.
So how about watering the trees? Say, for instance, we go into a summer, and hopefully where it's super dry.
Yeah.
And it, should anybody give these trees supplemental water?
Yeah, that's a really tough question, because, you know, typically we don't like to recommend watering our oaks, right? Especially
right.
during the summer,
right.
because there's already a native fungal pathogen. So there's a native fungus that lives in the soil called oak root fungus.
And that's already
in the soil.
It's a
native pathogen. And typically it lays dormant during the summer months when the soils are fairly dry. But once we add moisture to the soil, that again kind of makes all of those ideal growing conditions for a fungus. And so
that's what it likes.
And so that's why we typically don't recommend giving oaks, you know, summer watering, because it can make sort of an ideal growing condition for oak root fungus. But in the case of, you know, trees under severe stress, what I would recommend is, you know, if we're going into a summer of drought, you may want to think about maybe watering on the ends of the summer season. So, you know, if we're into April or May and it looks like we've got a drought ahead of us, you know, maybe that might be the time to try to recharge or give, you know, the oaks a little bit of water and do a really nice deep soaking. And then avoid any other irrigations the rest of the summer. And then maybe as we're getting into fall, again, if we're not getting any normal precipitation, that might be the time again to do it. But really trying to avoid watering, especially in, you know, frequent waterings, like turning on the sprinklers. We just really try to avoid that at all costs during the summer.
Sure. So could they possibly, I mean, just as a strategy, look at maybe watering once in August and once in September?
I think that would be a really good strategy.
Maybe in October if we still haven't received any rains?
Yeah, and especially if the trees are showing signs of stress. Right? Yeah,
right.
So if, you know, the leaves are, you know, kind of drooping and maybe sometimes they turn away from direct sunlight, those are all kind of indicators that the tree might be a little bit drought stressed. So if you're seeing some of those initial signs, that might be the time to maybe give them a little bit of water. And again, doing it maybe with a soaker hose or a drip way out away from the trunk of the tree. So we never want to water up against the trunk, but kind of out underneath
the canopy. Okay.
That would be a really good recommendation.
And say, for instance, they are using a soaker hose, how long should they let that run?
Yeah.
Any idea? I mean,
you know,
it's so hard to give advice about watering.
Yeah.
It really is one of the
toughest. It's so site specific, as you know.
Yes.
You know, it depends on slope and all of those things and the, you know, the porosity of the soil. But, you know, typically what I would recommend is, you know, putting the soaker hose out there, turning it on, and then just checking on it. So checking on it after 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. And if the water's still soaking in, then you could probably still leave it on. Once it starts kind of puddling on the surface and at any point it starts running off, then that would be the time to turn it off.
Right.
So those would be kind of the, you know, just kind of checking on it and, you know, giving it as much water as you can, but at the same time not overwatering.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. So I think you've given us a lot of great information about foamy bark canker.
Yeah.
And I truly hope I don't see it in my own trees, but at least we now know what to do and possibly how to prevent our oak trees from becoming stressed. So we've run out of time, but I want to thank you so much, Scott, for being here and giving us all this great information. And I know we'll be talking to you in the future.
Yes, thank you so much.
Bye. Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and I'm here at the UC office in downtown Sonora. Very fortunate to be able to chat with, again, Lisa Page, who is the president of the Master Gardener Program for Tuolumne County. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. And what we wanted to talk about today is a fabulous event that's coming up. And what is that?
It is the annual seed sharing event that we collaborate with Focus. If you're not familiar with what Focus stands for, it stands for Foothill Collaborative for Sustainability. They're a local nonprofit group that we've worked with they put this on for the last, well, this is the 11th annual, so.
Oh, 11 years. 11 years.
And
that's a long time.
Yeah. And so what it is you can come and purchase for a donation, we actually call it a $10 donation. You can get 10 packets of seeds, and they're non-GMO, mostly heirloom, cool and warm season vegetables. There's also herbs and some flower seeds available.
Wow.
And the money from the donations for the seeds goes to Focus, provide seeds and help to gardens in our community, whether they're school gardens or community gardens. So that's one of their major goals, is to promote sustainability in our community.
Which is wonderful. We're all trying to achieve that.
So it's my understanding, since I became a Master Gardener in 2009, it was in its, second year? If I could do the math
in my
head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Val Dombacher and her husband, Kurt, are members of Focus, and Val Dombacher was also a Master Gardener at the time. And so they asked Master Gardeners for help with this endeavor, because Focus doesn't have a lot of members in our county. Focus in Calaveras County, and I believe there's other counties in California that also have focus groups.
Okay.
But our own particular group has maybe 6 members, I guess, or maybe a little bit more. Plus, they get a lot of help from volunteers.
Well, don't they also do the potato patch?
They do the potato patch every year.
That's very well known within the county.
And if you're not aware of what it is, they do this potato patch every year, and they ask the community if they'd like to come help plant the potatoes, and in doing so you'll get to learn about planting the potatoes. And then they usually do that around May.
Okay.
And then they harvest in October, and if you come help with the harvest, you also get to learn some more, and you get to take some potatoes home with you. Speaking with one of the members recently, I was told that they donated over 800 pounds of potatoes to local food banks last year.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot of potatoes.
That's so. No small potato.
No. It sounds like a lot of fun. I have never actually gotten involved with it, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
It does sound like a lot of fun. And this event sounds like a lot of fun. So just so we don't gloss over it, where is it going to be held this year? And the date. Dates are always important.
Yes. Well, fortunately, we've secured a new location. It's changed locations since I've become a Master Gardener and gotten involved with it. But we've got it at the Tuolumne County Senior Center on 540 Greenlee Road, right next to the library, mm-hmm. if you're unaware of the Senior Center. So we'll have lots of room, and we'll be more centrally located to those folks that would like to come over from Calaveras County, or maybe drive over from Mariposa or Merced. I mean, the vegetables are suited to grow here. I've bought seeds from them in the time that I've been involved with them, and it's really nice to be able to, you have access to heirloom seeds that you may not be able to pick up in the local stores where they're selling seeds, though their seed companies are getting better at mm-hmm. offering more. It's just nice, and in doing it this way, you're also helping a nonprofit, you know,
Sure.
Fun seats for the community.
Now, it's in February.
Yes. Oh, and it's on Saturday the 23rd of February from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And then also, it's not just, I know there's some information that has gone out,
the flyer's
maybe
missing
it really,
a little bit.
Yeah, and maybe there, it doesn't talk about how there's even presentations,
there's
which
always,
is so exciting.
Yeah, there's always been presentations on gardening-related topics. They asked me, and I think it was my maybe third year of helping out, because I helped out in various stages, whether it was Master Gardeners have always brought in and had an information table, which we will again. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, they had an area where, because we were out at Columbia Elementary back then, and we had a lot of space in the cafeteria. And they had a soup and bread section at the time. They had this giant pot of soup and everything, and then it morphed into... Eventually, they had to move from Columbia after about 4 years of doing it there, and I don't remember why, if the connection, if the person that got us in there was lost. And then they moved to the farmery for 1 year, and that worked out okay, but there was already food vendors there.
Oh, right.
And then last year, at Val and Kurt Dombacher, they bought a place up in Washington, so they moved. The idea to have Master Gardeners do the food, but then went, well, it's not a location where we can have hot food, really.
Yeah.
So that Master Gardeners are wonderful bakers, so we'll have them. We had so many baked goods last year, and people actually, when I posted the fact that we were having Master Gardener baked goods on Facebook, the response was really overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, and that actually, on this flyer,
it is on Facebook.
It's on Facebook.
Yes, the event is on Focus's Facebook page and on the Tuolumne County Master Gardener's Facebook page.
Oh, wonderful.
But
how about, do you feel like talking about some of the people that are going to be making presentations and what those presentations are about?
Yeah, I jumped from that. about the second, third year, they asked me to, if I would like to do a, since I do a presentation on seed starting, and that is appropriate for what we're doing.
Definitely.
So I've done that particular presentation in the years following up through last year. So I will be there speaking again on giving your seeds a great start is the name of my presentation.
Oh, I love that title. And yeah. I've seen your presentations before. They always are a little bit different. You add something new.
Yeah.
I'm always learning.
It evolves, yes. It evolves every time.
So even though somebody might have seen your presentation before, you're always changing it. And
I actually have had some, I guess you'd call them followers, come back to see it each year.
Oh, definitely, because you keep adding and changing, and there's just always more to learn.
So I'll be speaking from approximately 11:30 to 12:30, we'll say.
Okay.
You know, the times are basically nailed down. We may, you know, there may be a little bit of overrun. But they originally had me starting at the same time that the seed sale was starting, and I told them that they needed to either have me start before a little bit or after, because people wanted to run in and buy seeds, but then they wanted to see me and they'd run in halfway through the presentation and they were sad that they missed it.
Oh, I bet.
So we fixed it so that that doesn't happen.
Oh, anymore. good.
So but for our first presentation this year, we have Cooper Kessel, he's a local architect. If you're familiar with him, he owns Alternative Energy Designs, and he's going to talk about greenhouses and garden structures, which we thought was, I thought that was appropriate.
Wonderful.
So we decided to have him speak first, and he'll start at around 10:15 and go to around 11:15.
We've heard him talk before. He's a wonderful speaker. He gave a presentation last year at our Open Garden event, and that was one of our largest turnouts. People came to listen to him talk.
And the reason that we had him at the demonstration garden was that they were still at Columbia Elementary School when I first saw him do the presentation on swales.
Right, it was.
So it came to mind that would be a great presentation to bring to the demonstration garden. And of course, in turn, then we had him come to the general meeting.
Yes, we did. You're right.
But he's wonderful. I mean, he could probably take up a whole open garden day all on his own.
Easy, and everybody would love to hear him.
And so he's very knowledgeable, yes.
But so he's first. He's talking about greenhouses.
And garden structures.
And garden structures. Okay. And
like I said, then I'm going second.
You're second.
Then we have Master Gardener Val Myrick. I asked her to come and do a talk on planting and planning now for spring and summer flowers. Because I figured since we're selling sunflower seeds.
Sure.
And I didn't want it to just be stuck on vegetables and, you know, because there's going to be people there that want to, you know. And it's not just planting flower seeds for flowers. You can get flowers from a lot of herbs.
That's true.
And we'll be selling herb seeds.
Well, and flowers are good, you know.
And Val Myrick is a wonderful, knowledgeable on this. She's
amazing.
She has been a master gardener since 1983.
Yes, she's a charter member.
Yeah, she's our longest serving master gardener that's currently active, right?
Yes, she is. She's the one.
And she's a very sweet lady, and she does a wonderful presentation.
And just so incredibly knowledgeable. Incredible.
In case you missed her, she just did a presentation at our last general meeting. She's a member of so many plant societies. She has such a wealth of knowledge.
Oh, the depth is just incredible.
I can take a... What is this plant, Val? Oh, blah, blah, blah.
She'll tell you
where it came from.
Where it came from. I mean, just everything about it.
So, yes, she agreed to come and speak. And then, of course, I don't know. We also have had this next speaker. He's our last speaker from 2 to 3. And we gave him the last spot because it's Jordan Lowry.
Oh, Jordan.
And he is an entrepreneur and a permaculture farmer at the Daumbacher Family Farms. And he's so smart.
Yes, he is.
We also had him do a demonstration last year. He's going to do intro to permaculture because obviously in an hour you couldn't even come close to covering what he knows about permaculture. But listening to him will get you excited.
Yes, he's so passionate.
And that's our idea, is we want to bring growing... Well, my focus has a mission statement, basically, like the University of California Master Gardeners have a mission statement. And there's a lot that those statements have in common, really, truly.
Oh, our goals are aligned the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we want to be able to teach the community to be sustainable, you know, how to grow your own food and to do it in the most sustainable way and healthy way without pesticides and herbicides. If you know, there's so many ways to do it where you don't need to use those things, and you know, to be able to have a community be self-reliant, you know, and we all work together. And that's the idea. Focus wants to collaborate with local groups to do their mission, and that's my goal. One of the goals that I had when I decided to become Master Gardener President, too, was to try to get us involved with more organizations, and because we all can help each other to bring this information to the community, which we love to do.
Absolutely. It is a wonderful opportunity. And Lisa, we just ran out of time. Sorry about that. Of course, we're going to have you come back again. We'll see you. You know, at the garden, the open garden events are always the first Saturday of the month, February through November, 10 to 1 o'clock, and our presentations start at 10:30. So if you've never been to the garden, it's at 251 South Beretta Street, downtown Sonora, at Casina Alternative High School, which is just right there on the Dome property. So thank you, everybody, and thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for having me, Debbie.
And talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you.